three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back for what could be the last time in a long time to the NBL Pocket Podcast. My name is Joseph Corr. I'm joined by
Andrew Kenyon. Here I am. That was seamless. And,
wasn't that? That was great. Just a couple of beats for suspense. Anyway,
here we go.
We've just watched Game 3. Sydney Kings are champions. Congratulations to those players, those fans, the whole team and organization. Well done.
Congratulations.
What are we going to talk about? Yeah, we're going to talk about the whole thing, the finals, the Jack Jumpers, the games, and a little bit of other news that's going on. We're going to do this one as quick as we can. This is a very mad scramble. Mad scramble, game's finished. Let's start with this.
Yep.
Andrew.
Yes.
The next season starts in 5 months. Whew. In October.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround.
Really quick. That's a lot of... Oh, did the players know this? Did the organizations know this? Or did Larry just announce that on the podium?
How long is it normally? Because it normally finishes...
I feel like it's more like 8. Yeah, sort of. But maybe it's not, because that would only leave 4 months for a season. So that doesn't really work out either. Mm. You'd think at least 6, right? Sort of.
Right. Yeah, half the year on, half the year off.
Yeah. Sure.
But 5 months, and it's also half... It's 11th of May. So it's, you know, a quarter of this month's already gone. So then you... That's a long time to, and people out there are probably thinking, oh, but the NBL is such a mad scramble. Free agency, as you were saying, Andrew's got to take place, and training and players and contracts and whoa, and new deals, and you're off again.
Yeah.
And you're paying a whole new salary cap of, soft cap of almost $2 million for players. So quick turnaround to pay, to finish paying everyone from this season,
yep.
And now, bang, whoa, another $2 million.
And you got to find your new imports if you're going to get new ones, and... Mm-hmm. You know,
coach search for some teams, I'm sure.
So, it's going to be rough. Pity so much for the postseason sort of chill time.
Mm. We'll see if COVID's a factor next year. Couldn't be as much. It's lessening, obviously.
Yep.
It was a huge factor, not so much.
Well, big crowd tonight. So, obviously, you know, I didn't see too many masks either. So, I don't think people are caring too much at this point.
Big crowd, great crowd. 16,000, what was it?
Yeah, 16 something.
16,149. Great number. And let's be clear as well. People outside of Sydney, this is a rainy, horrible night here in Sydney. Dreadful. And people still went out. Traffic's never kind in this city, but it got lucky in the sense that there were no other games on at the same time. It was a very lean day for sports, so great scheduling. This is just a really well-done job by the Kings and by the NBL to nut it out. So congratulations. Really well done.
Yeah, it's nice to see a big crowd in a finals. There's nothing worse than sort of a half-empty stadium in a grand final. So that's a fantastic
and a good
effort.
Crowd.
Yeah, and they seemed into it. Seemed pretty pumped up.
And that's the thing, man. And that's, we're doing sort of a pump opposed to dump here. We're going to do 5 good things, 3 bad things about kind of this finals, this game, this series, this season, sort of, in a way. Let's start with this. I'll start with this. Chase Buford. He should have tagged my bet. He'd be that little bit richer.
He would be.
Just before the inheritance kicks in. He'd be that little bit richer. He should have tagged it.
Man.
And I'd be there bare bottomed.
It was the opportunity was there and it just got left hanging out in the breeze, so to speak.
That's too bad. This finals, let's just do it. Grand final. What do you think of this game? How are you feeling after having watched it?
I mean, the result was... It was as expected. I'm really pumped for it. Like, it was 3-0, but really the Jack Jumpers gave the Kings everything they had, and it was a competitive series, and I wasn't sure it was going to be. So I'm pretty happy, especially this third game when I heard that all the Jackies were out with
McVay especially.
Yeah, you know, with the flu, and then you still got Jalen Adams, MVP out. I did think for a while, it's like, this is the second season in a row where the finals have been decimated by injury, because last season the Wildcats were on fumes, you know, they had lost Bryce Cotton and so on, and then the season before that was the COVID affected finals.
Yeah, good point.
So it's been a long time since we had a good final, so I was pretty down about it, but no, to their credit, both teams really brought their A game tonight, so it made it a worthwhile series. I liked it.
Were you entertained?
I absolutely was entertained. It was really fun. Yeah. Had a bit of everything, bit of spite, bit of great shooting. You know, usually they can be a bit a dour affair in the grand finals, but scoring was good.
Vasiljevic had that big hit the other day, the death threat dagger. And then today came out, didn't shoot so well. So maybe those, he's like, oh, is there a sniper in the crowd? Didn't quite happen for him, but still, he had a good series. I'll say this. Before it, I said the soul of basketball is on trial. I still stand by that. So it was probably a little bit melodramatic, but I still stand by it. I watched a film recently called Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. Now, people out there, and Andrew, don't go back and watch this film. It's not a good film.
Okay.
But, you know, I will quote a bad author of the writing is good. And this was something, it's in the film, it's about Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. Tad Hamilton's this Hollywood hunk, and he's a bad boy, and he goes on a date with a Midwestern girl to improve his image. But he ends up falling for the girl. Classic trope, right?
Sure.
But of course, the girl from the Midwestern town has a guy who's sweet on her, unrequited love, never had the guts to say what how he really feels. Anyway, he's about to go and say something, but the girl's gone off for a date with Tad Hamilton and only the father's at the house. And the father goes, listen, like, don't declare your love for her. And this is the line I love. And I've said this 1,000 times. You know, I'll quote a bad writer if the writing's good. Sometimes Goliath kicks the shit out of David. It's just that nobody bothers to tell that story. And I think that's kind of what happened here. We thought it was going to be a sweep.
Yep.
Goliath just beat down on the Jack Jumpers. And then a week in Jack Jumpers in game three. But they played. They made it. There's no sort of little brother. It's an even playing field. They made it and they got beaten. And I thought the average margin was 10 points per game if you added it all up. I think the Jack Jumpers would be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, I think so. And it was sort of the same story in each of the games, wasn't it, really? That Jack Jumpers held tough for a long time, and then the Kings, just in that fourth quarter, had more players, more depth, and more class to just push ahead.
Yeah. I haven't looked at it to see if the Kings won every fourth quarter, but they won this last one 31-19. And they won game two 22-16. They won this one 31-19. Like, they won every fourth quarter, pretty sure.
Yep.
And that was it.
Did you have any issue with the Larry Sengstock medalist?
Who got it? Xavier Cooks.
Xavier
right?
Cooks, yeah.
No. I actually said I said on Twitter, I was like, he's my MVP. And I didn't actually check to see who got it. So he did get it. Well, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
Nearly 20 points a game, super high percentages, 10 rebounds. He was. And it's not surprising already the NBA talk around him has sprung up. It's pretty valid. I will say I think he'll hold up athletically, but the swing skill for him has always been that 3-point shot. He only took, he was 0 of 1 in the series.
Yeah.
He took 1.
It's a big difference in a couple of seasons ago when I think it was under Andrew Gaze. Might have been Will Weaver. Can't remember now. But when he was just pinging away from 3-point range all the time.
No, he was signed in the Weaver year.
Yeah, okay. But he was just constantly shooting that 3, not well. And that's just gone away from his game now. It's all inside stuff, which I think is better for him. But you're right.
Better for him.
For the NBA, you have to show something a bit more, I'd say. But, end of a bench guy, I think he'd do all right.
The question I have written here is, can you be a player of his size and position in the NBA without a 3-point shot? And the answer is probably, I don't know. People at home, you answer it in your heads. It's a tough ask. He's a 3-and-D player. And what's the first adjective in that?
Yeah.
So,
but he's a rebounding fiend. So, that's
athletically, he's on point. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. He's not good at speeches, though. I don't know if you caught his speech. He sort of pumped it up. He got his MVP award and said, I'm going to save my speech. I've got something prepared. And then they did the whole trophy presentation and basically forgot to have him give his speech, which was a bit embarrassing, I thought. Quickly cut back to it. You know, they sort of missed the first 10 seconds of it because I think everybody suddenly realized, oh, he hasn't done a speech. He did a speech. It wasn't as advertised. It was not a good speech. I think Xavier Cooks may be many things, but a grand speaker and pontificator, he is not.
Ooh. P.T. Barnum, no. Xavier Cooks, yes. So that's the NBA scouting report. Strengths, rebounding, weaknesses, 3-point shot, and dictation. Work on both of them. I've got to ask the celebrities wishing good luck to this. I can't give a straight face.
Scotty.
The celebrities wishing the Kings.
Scotty Pippen.
I've got here Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Scottie Pippen. They got Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, both from Beyond the Grave. That was amazing. Henry Kissinger. Former, that ad, everybody. What do you think? Tacky or in your wheelhouse?
Cringe. So embarrassing. It's just so desperate. Look, we're relevant. They love us. Oh, they know who we are. Oh.
They're tacky. I think they're objectively tacky. Not my style, but hey, we're just two men in a wide world. They tracked well on socials. A lot of likes, a lot of this, a lot of that. They tracked well. They got a bit of coverage in the press and so on and so forth. So fair play. Credit where it's due. Not my style, but you know what? I'm not stylish, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just such that little brother thing. It's kind of embarrassing. Anyway, enough of that.
Should Chase Buford have been coaching this game?
No.
No. Brad and Body on the... Whoa. Sorry, I've just had noise streaming into my head from KO. that was actually scared the pants off me. I've got KO minimized people and it just shot noise into my head. Sorry about that. Chase Buford, on Brad and Body, they were like, no, this guy shouldn't be doing game three. What do you think?
No, I don't think he should be. And the knots that the NBL tied themselves in between what's a part of the game review and what's part of the in-game and it was ridiculous.
Code of conduct versus in-game.
Yeah, that's right. Can we just, let's call a spade and say, he should have been out, but they didn't want him out because it was a decider and they just sort of let it slide. And so all those, I just think there's no balance between, they fined Scott Morrison for swearing in a timeout, huge amount. You know, there's no consistency. So I think it's silly.
Yeah. When you put it up against that, that's so true. I mean, does a coach deserve to be... Did he have one tech at that first kick? The rest didn't see it as the problem.
No, so he didn't get... No, there's no punishment. There's no punishment for it.
But should... Let's say the refs had seen it. Do you get kicked out for doing that? If you've got a first tech already? Is that a second?
Yeah. And I think the closest analogy that we can draw is when Scott Fisher threw the foam sign. Yeah. I was at that game. That was awesome. That was when the Wild...
I don't know if I was, but...
Oh, I should have waved to you at the time. If only I'd known. That was a terrible season for the Wildcats, and that was the highlight of that season. Scott Fisher grabbing the big, it was the foam signs,
big foam
and
thing,
threw it.
Yeah, the pool noodle.
The big fish had still jacked arms at that point.
He was fiery.
And it made it to center court, that foam sign. He got tossed. Anyway, that's the point of my story. He got tossed from that game. And so I think
that's obstructing the play. That's different. I'm not so sure that what Chase Buford did is worthy of being thrown out of that. It probably is.
I think it is.
You can't kick and break the sign. But it's not, let's say that was his first offense. Hey, you're out of here. No, but if it's a second tech, that's enough for a tech for sure. So he got pretty lucky. But
I did notice in this game, he was very subdued. He was sitting down a lot more. It's like he'd been put in the naughty corner for quite a period of time. He was told to just chill. So, he didn't do anything egregious in this game. All right. There's that. He didn't look very excited to win either at the end of the game. He sort of went up on stage and crossed his arms and kind of just stood there.
He's probably dawned on him as like, oh no, how am I going to get out of that NBA out? No NBA out contract clause. Damn it. let's go to this. So we wanted to do this. We wanted to pump more so than dump. So I've got five good things from this series and kind of the finals and whatever.
Yep.
And three bad things or things I didn't like. Before we do that, though, one quick question. And it's not a fair question to ask, but I want to ask it to be Andrew. Would Melbourne have fared better than Tasmania in the finals? It's a stupid question because they didn't make it, so it's irrelevant, but I want to ask it anyway.
I think they would have. I think the matchup would have worked well for them. They had the size to match up with the Kings.
Agreed.
I would have really enjoyed seeing the JLA Hook-Porty combo up against the Kings.
Jack White,
against Xavier Cooks. That would have been good. So I think the Kings probably dodged a bullet.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I think so. And then when you add in a little bit of injury, the illness in game three with Krislovich and McVay.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they not dodged a bullet. I still think they would have beaten Melbourne, certainly off the strength of those other finals games. But yeah, they
wouldn't have had their way inside like they did in this match.
They wouldn't have had a sweep. They would not have swept Melbourne. No, I don't think so. Let's go five good things. And I'll start with one. We'll go one by one. I'm going to go mine first just because I've got it right here.
Yep.
One good thing, Josh Adams. And here we go. Another smaller scoring guard who struggled at Anadolu Efes in Turkey. I'm probably mispronouncing that. But, you know, the other guy being Bryce Cotton, who went there and was a bad performer and then came to the NBL and did better.
Yep.
He has played and scored pretty big and pretty consistently the second half of the year. Had a rough start, as some imports do, but then got better.
Yep.
So note to NBL GMs, you get value out of smaller guards in this league.
Yeah.
You know, because Adams' stats are not impressive in Euro Cup and Bologna Serie A, the Italian First League, and a few other leagues. So, yeah, that was a good thing where we've got, oh, great, another really good diminutive scoring guard, Cotton, yep. Adams, so on and so forth. Hope he stays around.
You stole my first one. That's exactly the same. Yeah, he was just in fuego in this series. Yeah. And so much
the
fun.
The degree of difficulty.
Oh, so much and the fun. It's so fun. Oh. I don't remember a scoring guard like this for quite some time. That was just exciting to watch. Just electric.
Because he's stronger than Cotton. I think he's taller. I think he's bigger across the shoulders.
Yep.
And looks like he's got a lot longer arms. He's got like the arms of a guy much taller than he is. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I like him too. He's come a long way since the beginning of the season. So hope he hangs around. So my top one, Ian Clark. What a recruit. Yeah. He hit five threes in this game, was it? At least. Mm-hmm. Came in. Would the Kings be in the grand final if, what's his name? RJ, whatever was that? Well, I can't remember.
RJ Hunter. Remember, I was about to ask you about him.
Yeah. And they got Ian Clark. What an upgrade.
Hunter's a good player. Hunter was just hurt. Hunter and Clark were interchangeable. They're the same player. Hunter was younger and a very good player and rangy and long and wing and bit of handle, bit of this, bit of that. RJ Hunter was going to be a really good player.
Okay.
He just got hurt. They took the same risk. Both were kind of injuries, hadn't played. One got hurt, one stayed healthy.
Yep.
You saw it in microcosm. You know, sometimes you see it year to year. Where it's like Jarrell Martin was hurt, I think it was last year on the forward.
Yep.
But it's a bit of a detraction away. Moving away from the five good things, I just want to say the master strokes of the Kings organizationally were that decision to go, we're staying with Martin and Casper Ware. It's just not. We've seen our time with Casper Ware. And I was a big fan of his and thought, I keep him around. But you know, that's proved to be a pretty good maneuver, especially when you got a guy like Adams.
Yep.
So that was the story. But also, there's going to be a lot of talk of, I know Paul Smith's going to come out with this, we did it under the cap. But that's fatuous. That's not entirely true, because the year they got kicked out of COVID or withdrew from the finals with COVID, they went well over to get Cooks. They had Bogut. They had Tate. They tried to on a smaller contract. They did a bunch of things, but they were well over that year. And that's the year that Cooks became available. And they went, yep, we'll pay you overs. We'll pay over the cap. We'll get you now for the future. And that was the master stroke, and to their absolute credit, paid off. But sorry, I interrupted. Do you want me to go with the next good thing?
What's the next thing?
Here's mine. Jack White got a lot of love for coming back from an Achilles injury. I mean, that was almost very sweet. It was almost really wholesome when at Melbourne United, they were like, oh, there he is, he's back. And it was a big report. And then Vasiljevic did the same thing, same injury almost.
Yep.
Not a lot of love. He came back, you know, slow to adjust, but then it's certainly in his role, but then found it in the grand final, hit that big shot. So people forget that's an Achilles injury. That's ended careers. Look at DeMarcus Cousins, look at Kobe Bryant, much older, I'll admit, but still, I thought that's another good thing for both of them, but especially Vasiljevic. Bad injury, came back, good player. So tip of the cap, good thing. What's yours?
Oh, yeah. Probably my next good thing, and this just to clarify, this is across the whole season, right? We're not limiting ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the
Bit good. Of it's Bull Qual.
Yeah,
I just like the way that kid came out of nowhere. Cairns were hopeless, and like he gave that team a ray of light in an otherwise dark and dismal season. Mm-hmm. I think he was just a real fun find and knockdown shooter, and he. If he keeps improving the way he's going, he's going to be a real handful. So yeah, I like that. I like when you see unexpected kids pop up out of nowhere.
Mm. My next one, I've just got Xavier Cooks again. I just want to make this point. Had that knee injury. That crippled his production for 2 years. Yeah, the first year he was a bust. Then under Ford, kind of still missed a bit of time, but played some good games, but was shooting a lot more from the outside. It just wasn't quite his year. And then this series dominated and could have made a case for, I thought he was the Kings' best player. You know, I've said this before, I thought Adam Smith's just a few too many games for my liking. So if Cooks won team MVP at their awards dinner, I would not be surprised by that at all. So, you know, to be patient with him and rehab him and for him personally to get over it and then become, you know, how he's not NBL first team, but anyway,
that's...
Yep. But yeah, so Xavier Cooks is my fifth thing. What do you got?
Yep. The next one is, it's been spoken about a lot, but I'm going to go with the New Zealand Breakers. Getting through the season without like punching each other out, Because they were living together basically for a long period of time, and that can't be healthy. People are getting, like, no team is so cohesive that you don't get annoyed with another player at some point in time. And they did a good job just doing enough to keep it all together. They didn't win many games, but they developed some young players. They fought it out as best they could, and they kept the fires burning for hopefully next season. So well done to the Breakers. And their socials. That's the other element.
I'm going to get in contact with them. They're very elusive, this socials team. I'm going to find them. I know they listen. They probably do. I'm going to find you, and we're going to chat. We're going to become acquaintances.
Yeah,
they were great. Also, just breaking away, Shamir's stepped down. Mounamoo is the coach. Did you know that?
I saw that earlier today.
Isn't that wild?
I'm very excited for next season.
Oh, jeepers creepers.
As if this team couldn't get more fun.
Step down. Are we buying that? I kind of do. I don't know. I don't know. If they can't, what do you think?
I believe it. I think it's, I mean, rough trot. They'd just be fed up. Like, they just, and like he's mentioned his family, fair enough. They moved to New Zealand. They think they're going to get all the New Zealand stuff, and they're stuck in hotels in Ballarat. Like, it's just not what you signed up for. So I don't blame them for just being worn out. I want to go home and do whatever they
I agree.
Do whatever they do back at home.
If he'd wanted it, I think another year was there. Yeah. I think he's a good enough coach with the, like, this has been a nightmare for all. We've just gritted our teeth and bared it. Now maybe we can bear some fruit. And you don't forget, in that first year, if there'd been a wild card game, a play-in, they would have got in. They were red hot. That Hobson, Finn Delaney, Brandon Ashley, Sieg Henry.
Yeah.
They were unreal. Sands Hampton. The other thing I'll say about them, the other thing it showed me about this game, and this is a good thing, I didn't written down, but I want to mention it. 16,000 plus at this game. It shows that when you build it, they will come. And, you know, if the Kings are not hugely popular in Sydney, they're relatively popular, but they're not the Rabbitohs, they're not the Swans, and so on and so forth. 16, if you build it, they will come. If you build a winner, they will come. Also, if you have stakes, if you say to any casual fan, listen, basketball, never watched a game in my life. Oh, it's a grand final. Oh, okay. You know, and that's where I think it bodes well for the play-in. Okay. Oh, what's that? Who? Oh, I'm not really interested. Oh, it's a knockout game. Is it? Okay. Maybe I'll take it in. So, and it showed you midweek, rainy day, it happened. If you build it, they will come. So that was, as far as commercially goes, the NBL would look at this and go, pretty good. Another good thing, Swaka. Wani Swaka the Bullet, from injury replacement. Let's not forget where he started this season. We talked about Bolqua. Injury replacement for, I want to say, Vasiljevic to full spot, and then a starter on a winner.
Yeah.
That's after leaving Perth, the tight little confines, leaving the crib, crawling and going over the other side of the country and doing, Swaka, I got to hand it to him.
Yeah.
And was helpful. Was a good player.
Yep. Another good thing from my side, coach challenge.
Oh,
I love that coach thing, challenge.
It saved the year at times because the home court, I felt, got a slight advantage just because. And then the coach's challenge was that one chance at biting through any bias, and often it did.
Yep.
I thought it was really fair. Yeah, I agreed.
Can I just say on that? You think about coach's challenge, I don't think that's FIBA certified, that rule, right? That is that's an NBL idea that they put in for entertainment value, fairness, whatever you want to call it, right? It goes to show they can mess with the rules and they can upgrade the rules and make it better. Elam Ending.
Oh, sorry. Elam Ending. Listen, can I just say about the NBL? I mean, when an idea strikes them and some, like this NBL sprint thing, when an idea just plums into their head out of the clear blue sky, I mean, they come up with some ideas.
They sure do.
Can I just say?
They're ideas people, like, over there. NBL
Einstein, HQ. Magellan, Newton, all combined to just come up with these ideas. Where do they come up with this stuff? Sorry, I'm having a laugh there. I agree. I agree with everything you've said. Absolutely. Coach's challenge. My last one, I got to say this. The Kings looking down at an injured Jerome Martin and go, nah, we're moving on from Casper. We're going to go this in-out style. We're going away from Bogut. We're going away from Tate, attack the hoop. Jerome Martin. In games two and three, didn't have a great game one, but listen to this, man. In games two and three, a combined 42 points, 7 of 22, 77% from the field. This is against Fabian Krizovic and stuff, who played well, but And nearly 30 rebounds over two games. So that's 20 points, 15 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
77%. I mean, that is
unlucky not to win grand final MVP then on those.
That
numbers.
Game one held him back was pretty below average in game one. True. Didn't happen for him. I think fouls, I can't really recall now. But yeah, Drummond, tip of the cap.
Yep.
What do you got? Or is you got anything left? Or has he reached your... No, you got one more.
I got one more, and it's going to be the Kings again. And it's a bit of a weird backhander, but...
Boy, this is unlike us.
I know. Chase Buford, right?
Oh, come on.
Now, Chet has brought lots of excitement to the league.
It's not Chet, it's Chance.
I misspoke. He has brought... he evokes passion from the fans, right? You either love him or you hate him. And as much as he infuriates all of us, it's kind of must-watch TV. So
I think
it's added flavor to the NBL this season. I think sometimes he's totally off his rocker, but he won the championship. So who am I to cast stones, right? And as long as he pays his bills and fixes LED signs, all good.
You may as well open up a TV repair shop, really, as a side hustle. Can't take it away from Abercrombie or Fitch. Great season. Let's go three bad things while we're talking about it. Buford, we talked about, probably shouldn't have been coaching game three. This is my first bad thing, or thing I didn't really like.
Yeah.
And in a way, that him coaching and whatever, it just still reminded me that basketball, despite the 16,000 plus there, this is still a small, in Australia, it's a small society, perhaps even just a family and friends only business. And Brad and Boddy kind of talked about it. I'm expanding upon it here, but it's clear that they want RC Buford's investment or sign off on the league. And as a result, I felt it was preferential treatment. I don't think, Joey Wright's not getting this kind of privilege. I always bring up Joey Wright, but I think most of the coaches don't get, Scott Morrison didn't get the privilege, and I thought it was preferential treatment and maybe nepotism, probably too far, a bit cynical, but it didn't sit well with me. And then a bunch of things, the scribbling on the lockers and no suspension for that. That's, to call out a ref by name, that's, you're taking bread out of someone's mouth. You're taking food, you're criticizing someone's job. It's just not the done thing. I don't know. Didn't like it. What do you think?
Yep. No, inappropriate. My first bad thing is I'm going to say Dean Vickerman and his constant shouting on the sidelines without Trevor Gleeson around to offset him and sort of draw the ire away. I really noticed him this year, and geez, it's annoying, especially even when he does that stuff that is, you see in the worst kind of social comp where somebody's shooting a three and he will just shout out, "Hey!" as the guy's releasing it. It's like, come on, mate.
Tacky.
Lift your game. I hate that stuff. And he's just annoying in the way that he shouts out from the sideline. So sort yourself out, Dean Vick. I mean, you're too good a coach to do that.
Didn't show in game five. Wow. Dally. Wow. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, paid for the attempt. It's like Evel Knievel. Here's a bad thing, I suppose. This could go each people listening, you bring your interpretation. This long-held rhetoric of pseudo-NBA play, American style, doesn't work here in Australia. Won't work here in Australia. Scott Morrison, that won't work. Well, the Kings just did it. Import first, pace and space, drops defense. This is the pinup of Sydney. They just won the championship. Yep. So the idea that doing it, and it's a good thing in that, more offense and so on and so forth, but bad in the sense that, this is the model. Everyone imitates the best.
Yeah.
And there will be teams that just try and follow this model. And if you're not quite the Kings, if you don't have that kind of spend, you probably don't do so well with your pickups or have the Pongrass leg up in recruiting and the Bogut and the money and so on and so forth. So, that the league sort of loses a bit of its identity. American coach, first year under 30. He's not even 32. Three or 34.
No, he's younger than Brett Brown when he won it, I think, in
94. So great stats. So there you go. And the league just loses a little bit more of that and it becomes a little bit more of an NBA parrot. Some people like that. Some people don't.
Do I just realized they are a nice parallel. When you had Brett Brown winning it in 94 with the Giants, he had a new to the country point guard, Darryl McDonald. Now the Kings, new to the country point guard, Jalen Adams.
Jalen Adams. Very well. I mean, they had him for game one. He had 25 points. An unstoppable guy. Imagine if he played. Man. They won game one by what? 15, 20 points, 18 points or something like that?
Can't remember now. Don't have it in front
if
of me.
If they had Adams, that would have been the scoreline in every game.
Yeah.
Blitz. What do you got for me?
Bad thing is Adelaide and its import selection. This guy's got to sort that out.
We've spoken about that all year.
Like,
good Lord.
So bad. And just ruined that team. Like, they had like one good victory, I'd say. Or maybe two, because I think they might have beaten Perth twice. That was about the only good times, you know, they had. Just average. And everybody could see it early, but they persisted. And so they need to do better.
Yep. Agreed. I'm going to go back to one last good thing, because I think we're done with the bad. This podcast got some great support. Sydney Sea Kings. This is funny stuff. Makes fun of us all the time in a really classy and funny way. Love Sydney. Woody, Rob, Throwback Hoops. Jacinda from Shooting the Breeze. I saw a photo of them at the game. That's fantastic. I mean, this is...
Yep.
Podcast is coming and second-tier media, we'd call it.
Sport blokes.
Sport blokes. Jackson McDonald. NBL News. Yep. Who else is... kind to us. Let's keep going down the list. I do not want to forget anyone at all. Nick Tan puts out some of the funniest stuff. Did you see that Titanic Paul Smith thing I did?
Yes, I did. Twitter? Yes, yeah.
I thought that was all right. Nobody gave us stuff. <That's fine. laughs> Didn't take very long. Did it over lunch. Who are we not forgetting anyone?
We probably are. I didn't make a list before we started recording.
Dan Ewing, huge fan.
Yes.
Loves it. Thank you to him. Always kind.
Yep. A whole bunch of people on Twitter, on the Discord. Shadow Stalker, work at the Discord, making
Harpy.
It sexy. Harpy. Good bloke. Just
all the patrons.
Just nice people. Just nice people. And I love it. And it's like, well, there is this sort of second tier, like you say, a second tier of media doing our thing. You know, we're not Peter Hooley and Andrew Gaze in the booth, but we're doing our bit as best we can.
Yeah, and it's great that these, you know, it's coming together. It's forming its own little microcosm, and, you know, I think it could be quite fun. So NBL 22 has come to an end. Are you optimistic about NBL 23?
Ah, geez, it's early call.
Can I, while you're mulling it over, I want to say one thing that the NBL absolutely has to do.
Right.
NBL HQ, when you select the tagline, next level, what was it before? See incredible. This year it was next level. When you select something, make sure that the Toronto Blue Jays don't have it, because when you go hashtag next level, it automatically puts a little Toronto Blue Jays of the MLB logo at the end. So that's why they kind of went away from doing that, because they lost the rights.
Right?
So you got to pick something obscure that's not going to get, you know, done over the top of. That was funny when I typed in next level and it's a little Toronto Blue Jays logo. I was like, what? What on earth? I think the next tagline should be "Gimme some."
Yeah. Gimme some.
What? Gimme some. Gimme some of that NBL.
Okay.
No one's going to steal it, because it's a bit. It's just shitty enough that no one will steal it, but good enough that people are like, "Oh yeah, gimme some. I'll take
some." All right.
Okay. You can use that. Oh, gimme some of that in commentary. That works. You can see Jack Everin saying that.
Oh, can I just say one other good thing? Just popped into my head. League sponsor Hungry Jack's. That Hungry Jack's burger giveaway. Now, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't really care. But plenty of people do. And it's created quite the cult following. So, you know, it's annoying to hear it on the telecast, people shouting Hungry Jack's when they're at the free throw line. Bloody annoying. But Hungry Jack's, great advertising and a good promotion, and it gets the fans involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone else I want to shout. Hilton Barber.
Oh, yep.
Who joins our chats. Very supportive. Appreciate him in the Discord. Just another name. I think we're kind of rambling on here, but any last sort of...
Well, I will say, now I've had a moment to think about next season, I'm looking forward to it. I think it will be a better season. I think we're going to see a few teams that are a bit more settled. I think New Zealand will definitely be more settled. I think Adelaide with CJ Bruton with a year under his season under his wings will be better settled. I think Perth will be better. So I think Cairns can't be worse. So I think it should be a good season. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to just a bit of a break from NBL, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, that was my next question. What are we going to do with this podcast? Likely we'll take a pretty lengthy break. There's just not enough to talk about. And maybe if we get some interviews here and there. I had Cotton in the off-season a couple of years ago. If I can get him, I'd love to have a chat to him. I don't think he'd be doing interviews.
No, I think people will probably take a pretty low profile. Have a bit of a rest.
Perth, very low profile and not so keen this year. I think he'll be doing a lot less talking and a lot more behind the scenes if I know the Wildcats and if I know him, which I don't. But
what I can tell you while we're rambling and saying I'm NBL basketballed out, I am not going to be NBL 1 basketballed out because just a reminder, I'm doing commentary for the NBL 1 West Perth Redbacks home games. So if you want to hear me commentate a game and take the mic, you can tune in on the live stream on mbl1.com.au/west, then find the video from there, or maybe on KO, who knows. Who knows your luck. I don't know. I think they select a game and it's just a matter of whether you get selected, so I'm not going to promise that, but it's a lot of fun. I'm doing the prep. And a big thanks also, I don't know if I said this before, but I want to say thanks to Liam Santa Maria. I reached out to him and said, like, got any tips for doing good commentary? Because if I'm doing something, I want to do it well. And he came back with a whole bunch of tips for me. Super kind of him. Super guy.
Liam's a good guy.
So that was really great. And I've already implemented, I've stolen his ideas and running with it. So I'm enjoying it.
Well, I'm glad it goes both ways. I got to cut that. I'm going to have to cut that. I'm going to get in trouble. I, however, will be taking a different tact. I'll be actually not only avoiding basketball, but probably anything round. So mug, like the top of a mug, no interest in anything that bounces.
Yep.
No interest in it. So, but hopefully you get a massive highlight, that one NBL highlight dunk in it, and I'll
That would be fun.
We'll work out what we're going to do. But so thank you to everyone for listening.
And Joe, while we're saying our thank yous, I want to thank you for being such a terrific host. And also having me involved in this show, which I love. I enjoy it so much.
Stop it.
And it's opened up so many doors and avenues for me. So I love it. And, may it continue.
Isn't that amazing? You've got a commentary gig. I remember I tried to get a commentary. I tried to get, I just wanted one so I could throw it on the resume and, pitch it to someone overseas. And they're like, oh, that's commentary. I was like, just a one, yeah. And I got stood up. And anyway, if I come over there, I'm Let me tell you this now. If I come over there, I'm just getting in the broadcast, getting a 3-minute show reel, and I'm out. That's for damn sure. But no, well, thank you to Andrew. And the beautiful thing about this podcast is we do a little bit of research throughout the week and a bit of whenever we get a doc open. You might add throw something in on Monday and Tuesday and a little bit here and there. But ultimately, it just hit record and go for it. And Andrew's always good about, do you want to do one tonight in 2 hours' time? Yeah, okay. So it's good stuff, and everyone who's been on the show, especially the spot, Adam Westerhout.
Yeah, I was just about to say we didn't mention Adam, so there you go.
Daniel Rouse comes on Spotify sometimes. Yep. Much appreciated. Gosh, we can't forget anyone. All the patrons, there are 25 or 6 of them. You know your names. We'll try and do something nice for you in the off season. Silly, whatever. We are rambling though. Final word, if you want to say something while I think of something.
Yeah, I've got something. Rate the show 5 stars. Buy a book from Booktopia using the link. Visit this.
I had Body on. Spoke about Body's book.
Yep. Buy that.
Came out this morning. Buy that.
Do it. Visit our Discord.
Patreon.
Yeah, obviously. Pay us money. That's why did I forget that?
Here's the thing. We put this goes out. We get a little bit in return, but not a lot. And sometimes people don't like it. And you actually kind of lose job opportunity. That's a result. And you send some people the wrong way, some people the right way, but so it is a risk, and we'd like some money for taking that risk. You can get cancelled. But thank you so much, everyone, and the commentary team. And I thought the broadcast improved. I know we're off on a tangent, but I thought there was a lot of baseline sideline angle, and then that kind of went away in this game 3.
Yeah,
they heard the call. So congratulations. But good season. And likely we'll see you next season in 5 months. Jesus creepers.
Good night, NBL 22.